We're going to be talking game shows, but I want to start off with this new game show. Has anybody seen this? The new game show is called Paid Off, which offers a chance to eliminate student debt loan, student loan debt. We're playing in a weird space of dark comedy, the host said. Wheel of Fortune contestants have a chance to win lavish vacations. If you score on the prices right, you can go home with flashy sports cars. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire occasionally makes good on its promise, but a new game show on True TV offers contestants an altogether more practical and perhaps somewhat depressing prize, the chance to get out from under mountains of crippling student loan debt. You know, we're going to jump in and talk about, but we're going to do some game show talk, which is one of my favorite things to talk about. We haven't talked about game shows in a really long time, and all that, your favorite one's the best. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You know, Dan, there was a show called Debt, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was hosted by Mr. Chuck Woolery.
You are correct.
Here's another thing. Whenever we talk about game shows, it shows what a dork I am. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, Wink Martindale.
Wink. You know Wink Martindale, man. That guy's been in the business for a long time. You know, he basically introduced Elvis. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Wink is responsible. Wink is maybe responsible for introducing Elvis to the masses. First guy to ever had him come into sock hops and stuff. Wink Martindale. Best known as host of Tic-Tac-Doe. That's the show that most people know Wink from. And also his name. Because one of the greatest names ever. Now debt was very similar to that. You didn't win money. If I remember correctly, you didn't win money. You got your debt erased.
Correct. Three contestants were introduced with the amount of debt they had, usually between $6,000 and $10,000, and the reasons why. After introduction, the debt of the three contestants were averaged to level the playing field. The scores were shown in negative amounts to reflect the debt of each contestant.
Right.
And then as you went...
What's going on?
As you went on, one of the categories you set up like Jeopardy, one of the things you could fall on, much like the Daily Double, was the debt-inator.
So, like, it can get rid of your debt, like it's like a Daily Double, but it doubly gets rid of your debt?
Rather than choosing individual questions, contestants chose an entire category from the five on the board and the five questions from that category as in succession. Due to this change, the detonator now represents an entire category play for double value, $1 to $500.
Now, what did they say? Their debt was $6,000 to $10,000?
Average, yeah.
Yeah, amateurs. Amateurs. Let me tell you something. That's nothing, buddy. $6,000 to $10,000, please. I had that in my sleep in my 20s. You kidding me? All right. So this is just now that was any debt, right, Dan? That was like credit card
correct.
Debt.
You know, they did not have parameters.
Right. Now, this is student loan debt. So that's specific on this Paid Off. Paid Off is a new trivia show. Premieres on Tuesday, so it was on last Tuesday then. And did anybody see it? 312-981-7200. If you have True TV, I want to know what you thought of the new game show Paid Off. Premiered on Tuesday. It has a topical premise, to say the least. It debuts as some 45 million Americans find themselves buried under student debt, including roughly 60% of college students who owe on an average of $37,000. See, that's more like it. That's more like it, $37,172. See, now that's professional debt right there. That's debt. $10,000, please. Americans collectively owe upwards of to $1.4 trillion in, man, that's unbelievable. $1.4 trillion in student loan debt. It's a staggering sum that helps explain why so many 20 to 30-somethings have struggled to gain a foothold in the middle class, effectively cutting them off from home ownership and other investments. Michael Torpy, a New York-based actor who MCs the show. Wait, can we get IMDb Michael Torpy? T-O-R-P-E-Y? What does this guy look like? Let me do a Google search of Michael Torpy. Because I heard about the game. I just haven't seen it.
Oh, you might recognize him. He's been in a few things.
Has he?
He's like a character actor guy.
Michael Torpy. Oh, yeah, I have seen this guy before. Yeah, I have seen him before.
Won a SAG award. Ensemble, outstanding performance by ensemble in a comedy series.
Well, he's in Orange is the New Black. He might have won for Inside Amy Schumer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a comedian, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, I know who this guy is. I've seen him before. He's good. Now he's hosting Paid Off. No, he's good. This guy's funny. He's good. All right. So Michael Torpy. I just didn't know his name. Well, that Dan, it's one of those guys you see the face. You go, I have no idea what this guy's name is, but I've seen him in 9,000 things. But yeah, so he's the host of the show. And he acknowledges that a giddy, brightly lit cable TV quiz contest about one of the most burdensome financial issues in America might seem odd, to say the least. We're playing in a weird space of dark comedy, said Torpy, who developed the show. Wow, he developed the show and pitched it to executives at True TV. As a comedian, I think a common approach to a serious topic is to try to laugh at it first. The ground rules are fairly straightforward. Three contestants, all of whom must carry some college debt, go head-to-head in a series of trivia questions, including a few related to education. If they provide the correct answer on enough of their brain teasers, the show will cover up to 100% of their loans. Torpy said he strives to balance the lighthearted trappings of a game show with an earnest, empathetic look at student debt issue. I want to be very respectful to the folks that come on our show who opened up their hearts and shared their struggles with us, he said. I hope this show destigmatizes debt. I mean, there are 45 million borrowers out there. That's a huge number of people. And yet some critics have already pounced on the premise of the show, suggesting that the very concept is flippant and insensitive. The student loan game show Paid Off is a cruel joke, said one headline on Paste, an online magazine. The show says it treats student loan debt more as a theme to a party than a public crisis that exists for identifiable reasons. I don't agree with that. I don't understand. I mean, I guess, well, maybe that's a point. I don't know. I think that, what's wrong with that? Well, you're trying to get out of debt. Maybe, look, here's a way for me to get out of debt. I can go on a game show.
Yeah, the critics, I think, aren't looking at it from the point of view of a person who's in debt and is looking for a way out of it.
Let me tell you something. Nothing feels better than when you get out of debt. Let me just say that right now. And I was in some debt. Like I was, this is this, like I said, 10 grand, please. That was a Tuesday for me. When I got out of debt, I no longer had, you know, I had no debt, I had no balances, nothing like that, and I've been on top of it financially now for many years. It never felt better. It was a terrible time. A terrible, terrible, stress-filled time. And I'll tell you something right now, I don't think Wink Martindale's show was on the air. So I would have tried out to help get rid of some of that debt. Absolutely.
Sure.
True TV, for its part, pushed back against such criticism. Leslie Goldman, the network's senior vice president of development and original programming, said the intention is to show that student debt is a ridiculous crisis. The best way to address this issue is with a ridiculous game show. Torpy said Paid Off tries to offer constructive tips, prodding its viewers to call their representatives in government. We try to highlight all different types of groups that we think are complicit. We yell at Congress, we yell at predatory loan groups, and we yell at universities themselves. Now, I don't know if anybody saw it, but if you did, it premiered Tuesday on True TV. How many people have True TV? Like about 7? I mean, you know, here's the thing that I know that's on True TV is that ridiculous Impractical Jokers. That's on True TV. There's other stuff that I've seen on True TV. That used to be Court TV. You remember that was it's more
sure.
From Court TV to True TV.
Well, that's what it is. TRU TV.
Right.
Yeah.
True TV. And they have like a weird lineup on True TV. It's not.
You know who owns
Billy Eichner's not on True TV. Is Billy Eichner Billy on the Street when Billy Eichner's screaming at people on the street? I think that's on True TV. That's the only show that I DVR on True TV is Billy Eichner screaming at people on the street.
Yes, True TV.
Yeah. So that's the show that's the only reason I know True TV. The only reason I know Impractical Jokers is because I think it followed Billy Eichner. And I know a lot of people have very little patience for Billy Eichner and can take him in little... I could watch Billy Eichner scream at people on the street for 14 hours straight and laugh every time. I love Billy on the Street. I absolutely love it. It's just him running around screaming at people on the street. And I think it's genius.
Turner Broadcasting owns that.
Well, he owns
that's weird.
Everything.
Huh.
So, anyway, Paid Off is on True TV. If you've seen it, I would love to hear what you think. 312-981-7200. I think it's a perfectly legitimate game show. I really do. People want to get out of debt, man. You don't want to be in debt. If there's a possibility that you can go on a game show to get out of debt, what the hell's wrong with that? I don't know. So, anyway. Yeah, but it is a serious issue. I'm not making light of it. Seriously, I was in debt. And that's not a lie. I really was. I was in some really deep debt, some serious debt. And I got out of it. It took a long time to do so. Took a few years to get out of it. But I did, and it was and getting out of it is fantastic. And if there's a game show that could help you get out of that debt and make that feeling happen sooner, I'm all for it, man. And I would have done it. If there was a game show that I could have gone on when I was in debt, I would have done it. So, all right, let's take a break. And then we're going to talk about game shows in general. So if you want to jump in on that conversation with your favorite game shows, your favorite game show hosts. Hey, Dan, remember when you would play some game show themes for me?
Yes.
Can we try and do that? Maybe I'll try to name it.
Sure.
Name the game show. I could probably try and name the game show from the theme. But you always get some really obscure ones that lasted like a half season.
Right.
So anyway, we'll do that and talk game shows in general. I do have here the list of the 25 greatest game shows of all time, and we can bat that around a little bit. So, okay, let's take a break because we've got weather and we've got traffic, and then we'll come back. And if you've seen Paid Off, let us know what you think, and we'll get to game show talk as well. Welcome back, everybody. Dan, now Otis Wilson is on. And I didn't even notice it until somebody had mentioned Mike Singletary in a text, and I look up and it's called The Rewind Sports. It's on CLTV. I don't know what it means, but Otis Wilson is talking right now. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude here 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. It's Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Get your requests in. 331 area code, requesting some Linda Ronstadt. Blue Bayou. Yesterday was her birthday. Lovely, lovely Linda Ronstadt. Dan, you're too young. Do you remember what politician she dated?
I do not.
Famously? Governor Jerry Brown.
Oh.
Yeah, they were an item. Rod, you remember that?
Yeah, Jerry long time ago.
Jerry Brown dating Linda Ronstadt.
That was a big deal then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, Linda Ronstadt, she's pretty awesome. All right. Hey, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking game shows. So Paid Off started out on Tuesday. Hey, Dan, does it say how long debt ran? Did they have how many?
Two seasons.
Wow, why do I remember it? Does this have the years?
Let's see here.
I know it was syndicated, so I don't think it was on a network. It was one of those sort of, I think it was kind of a relatively low-budget game show thing that was syndicated. But when you get Wink, it's not low budget. That's what you get.
It was on original Lifetime, originally on Lifetime.
Oh, it was on Lifetime?
Yeah, 96 to 98.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that was before my debt era, my debt really kicked in. It was starting to kick in at that time. It was beginning at that time. All right. Dan, did you have a lot of student loans?
I lucked out. I got a few scholarships kind of, here and there that kind of helped out. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, my parents were able to help out on that front.
Yeah.
So my dad does like to tell the story, though. I went to Bradley University graduated and had my student debt. My two brothers, though, went to Eastern Illinois, and my dad actually ended up paying more for high school than he did Eastern Illinois because they were, in-state tuition and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. So. More. Now, did your brothers also go to Pats?
Yes.
So you have a full Pats family?
Right, full Pats family.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember how much Luther cost a lot of money. And then when I went back and spoke there and then went back and helped out during a class, I heard how much it cost to go there. Like, right before the doors closed, it was a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
But that's the case for private education all over.
Right.
But, I mean, I couldn't believe how much it cost. Now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. See, my debt was not student loan related. My debt was just because I'm a moron. My debt was behind on bills, credit card debt. That's what it was. And that stuff can build, man. And you know what the thing about it is? The interest rates, man.
Oh, yeah.
And interest rates and late fees. It'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Kill you.
They have a thing now, you know, partially because of guys like Herb Weisbaum, you know, that tell you, you know, if you pay the minimum payment, this is how long it will take you to do it. And when you look at that number sometimes.
No,
it's like,
insane.
Oh.
It's insane, Dan. I was minimum payment man, sometimes skipping a payment man on some of my credit cards. The time that I went a little nuts was like after my first divorce. That was like when I was like, yeah, screw it. And that's when my mindset was not great at the time. And so I was very irresponsible with money. And it had nothing to do with student loans. I went to Columbia I didn't even go. I went like a year to Columbia and paid it. You know, my parents and I paid it. So it had nothing. I can't blame it on student loans. I can't be, oh, the government's evil. That's why I was in debt. No, I was in debt because I was a moron. Because I was an absolute moron. But I got out of it and I'm fine now, which is just, you know, that's the stress that when you are in debt, I'm not kidding, man. It affects you physically.
Sure.
Affects you mentally. It's not, it's terrible.
And you'll never go into debt again.
No way. No way. No way, no way, no way. No, we have Herb Weisbaum on every month.
Mm-hmm.
He's our consumer guy, and he says that you should never carry any balances on your credit cards.
Yep.
Pay them off every month. And I try to do that. I don't always do that, but my balances, whatever balance I have now, is minuscule. It's minuscule. Yeah, so anyway, I was a moron. Jeez. It's unbelievable. I was late on regular bills, not just like I'm talking about like...
Your rent.
I was late on rent. I was late on, you know, electricity.
Yeah.
All that cable. I had cable. I would pay my cable bill when they shut it off. It was at the point where it was like, I mean, I turned on my TV and my cable wouldn't come on. I'm like, oh, damn it. And then I would call up and go, what's the minimum I can pay where you can turn my cable back on?
Oh,
I'm not kidding. That's how bad it was, man. And so they would say, you got to pay this much to get it turned back on. And I'm like, all right. And they'd turn it back on. And then I'd wait until it was turned off again to pay it. But I'll tell you what, man, you know what's really incredibly gratifying is being able to go online to my credit card and just say, you know, I see what the minimum is, and I go way over what the minimum is, like to the point where maybe the balance is gone.
Sure.
And to just click on that and go, mm-hmm. yeah, I'll pay that much right now and still have money in the bank. Thank you very much.
I do that with the car payments.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay this for, what was it, like 6 years for a new car?
Yeah.
I says, no. 5 years, 4.5 years. As long as I've got the extra money, I'll go ahead and pay it.
Yeah.
So I don't buy, you know, chips for the week or something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The other thing is now, you know, my money, I've been saving my money now. One of the reasons why I'm saving so much money is because I don't booze it up. I used to drop, Dan, you know the kind of money that you can drop when you go out drinking.
Oh, sure. And, I mean, right, you know, depending on the establishment, too, what you're having.
Yeah.
And even if it's just beer, my God,
well,
you
listen,
10, 12, beers at a sitting.
The amount of booze that I was ingesting,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I was spending a ton of money. I had gotten out of debt by that point,
mm-hmm.
but I was still spending a ton of money on booze. And now that I don't, it's ridiculous.
Are you shocked by it?
Oh, I'm completely shocked by it. I can't believe the amount of money that I would spend. And this is not an exaggeration. You know, when I was working on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
I'd go out 4 or 5 times a night or a week drinking.
Right.
Okay. I'd drop easy $75 a night.
Jeez.
Easy.
Oh my God, Nick.
Yeah. So, and I was a good tipper.
And the other thing that, other than booze, cigarettes.
Well, that was a long time
you
ago.
You know, I mean, back in my day, they weren't that expensive, but our daughter stopped and has saved a ton of money.
I quit smoking. I smoked casually. I smoked when I drank, which would be every day. but no, I quit. You know, here's how long ago I quit. I quit smoking when they hit $5 a pack. I was like, I'm done.
Oh my God, $5 a pack.
Do you know how much they are now?
Oh, they've got to be like 10,
like $12.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, easily $12. I quit at $5. I was like, I'm not paying. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Well, it's crazier now. Yeah. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up. Two for Tuesday, by the way. Yeah. This is not a twofer that Bird would play. Just wanted to let people know that. Doug in Kansas City from Fiddler on the Roof Tradition. So is it going to be a Topol twofer? Is that what it is? Does Topol do the next song that's requested? Because I'm guessing it's If I Were a Rich Man.
You would be correct.
Okay. All right. It's a Topol. I would refer to it as a Topol twofer. That's the way.
You got a copyright there.
Exactly. Topol twofer. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're here live on the 18th floor of 303. I'm in the studio that I enjoy, Studio D. I enjoy both studios. I enjoy the entire building, but I prefer Studio D, which Dan has, we've crowned it Studio DiGilio. D for DiGilio. So, yeah. We're on the west end of the building. Studio A is on the east end of the building. And the newsroom and the huts are right in the middle between the two studios. It's beautifully set up. Lovely, lovely, lovely stuff. So we're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6. And so we're talking game shows. If you would enjoy to join us, that would be very cool. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for your favorite game shows and all that cool stuff. And let's talk a little bit about that. And then, Dan, did you find any game show themes that you could play that maybe I can take a crack at?
I'm working on it now.
Okay. 331 area code says, my favorite game show is the original Black and White Password. Those are the best. The best. The black and white stuff is the best. Dan, you know what? You know, starting at 7 o'clock every morning on Buzzer, it's the black and white block where they'll do... They'll do a classic password, black and white classic password. They'll do what's my line to tell the truth, names the same. All of those classic black and whites. They're great. And if you're watching To Tell the Truth, let me just say this, a little tip for people out there who are watching To Tell the Truth. If you're watching the classic To Tell the Truth reruns, if you're watching and playing along at home, always bet with Peggy Cass. Whoever Peggy Cass picks on To Tell the Truth, agree with her. Best player of that game. It's not Tom Poston, who's quite good, or Orson Bean, or even Kitty Carlisle. Always go with Peggy Cass. That's a little advice for you people out there. The funniest episode of The Odd Couple was when Felix and Oscar were on the on Password. It was classic. Yes, it was. It was hilarious. 312 area code says, most people discover True TV every March. Oh, that's right. The NCAA tournament splits the games between CBS, TNT, and True TV. 773 area code says, Solitary is the best game show I've ever seen. Oh. All righty then. My favorite game show of all time. I mean, for me, it's not even a contest. It's Match Game. The classic Match Game from the... From the 70s. The best.
May I add my vote on that?
Yeah.
Just hilarious.
Oh, you're talking about Match Game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No matter who they have.
That's great.
It's hilarious.
Well, it got a little bit shaky, too. You know, like, here's the thing. There some time during Match Game, especially when Richard Dawson was still under contract,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't want to be there anymore.
Right.
Because he had Family Feud. And he thought being on Match Game was beneath him. And he made it abundantly clear by being the most miserable bastard on the panel. He would wear sunglasses. He wouldn't make eye contact. He wouldn't talk. And I mean, he really was. Like the last, I think, year and a half that he was on that show, maybe 2 years, he was a miserable bastard and just like not nearly as fun as he used to be. And that's when it was up to Charles Nelson Reilly and Brett Summers to step up and save the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dawson was doing nothing. He didn't. He clearly, obviously, didn't want to be there. Had no interest in being there at all. That's when Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly really came up, and then some of the other guests would come in and save the day. But yeah, no, it's great. And I watched the new version with Alec Baldwin. And my problem with the new version, I mean, it's still a fun game and everything. My problem with the new version, and I like a lot of the celebrities that they have on. There's a lot of really cool people that they have on. They had Amy Sedaris on and Ellie Kemper. Donald Faison was on. You know, Jack McBrayer. So the people that they have on are really fun and people that I really like and that are hilarious. The problem is that there's no more double entendre. Like, it's flat out blue. Like, they work blue now. Like, if it's a body part, they'll say it. You know what I mean? Like, if they're beeping things.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I had Dick DiBartolo on the show. Do you know who Dick DiBartolo is, Roger?
Why does that sound?
Dick DiBartolo.
Producer?
Nope. He's one of the head writers, Mad Magazine. He's been writing for Mad Magazine for over 50 years. And he was the head writer of questions on Match Game. He invented Dumb Dora. He invented all of those, the Old Man Periwinkle, all that stuff.
On the original.
Yeah. That's Dick DiBartolo.
I'll be.
He's a regular on the show. I've had him on many times. He's one of my heroes. I love the guy. And he's a real gadget freak now. He does tech reports.
Oh.
And he's still in the business, still lives in New York, still writes for Mad Magazine. And I asked him, and he hates the new version.
Yeah.
He hates it because it's not, there's no subtleness to it. You know?
The original, the spontaneity of not only the panelist, but the host.
Well,
you don't get that now.
Gene Rayburn is the greatest.
Yeah.
Gene Rayburn was the best. He was hilarious.
Nowadays, I saw one episode. I saw, or part of one. I didn't stay with it. Of the new one.
Yeah.
It sounded so scripted. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not nearly as good.
No.
I mean, the format of the game is still good. The format, the format is fun and it's still good. And every once in a while, they'll have a nice, you know, funny question. And they get, like I said, the celebrity panel is really good. They get really funny people who are not Z-level stars. You know, I mean, these like Amy Sedaris as far as I'm concerned, major. And Ellie Kemper is major. So they get these people on, and it's just the problem is it's just they go too far.
Yeah.
I think Baldwin's fine. He's no Gene Rayburn.
No way.
I mean, Gene Rayburn was the best. He's just the best. And and so, you know, but the thing about the original was that they would film five in a day.
Mm-hmm.
They would film five in a day, and in between, there was a bar in the back. So, you know, when you get to Thursday, things get a lot looser by the time, you know, because they would film all of them in one day. So they would do five episodes. They'd do a full week of shows in one day. And in between, they'd take a break, and there'd be a bar. And so by the time you got to Thursday, you'd be like, well, yeah, they seem to be having a much more fun time than they were having on Monday. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, Match Game is the best. Dan, are you a game show fan at all?
I do enjoy the game shows, especially when I was like playing bar trivia. Jeopardy was a key component.
Jeopardy.
But my favorite, and to this day, whenever I'm waiting on, let's say I'm waiting to hear back from a guest and I need them to say yes to something or et cetera, right before I open up the email without even thinking, I'll say no whammies, no whammies.
That's classic. That's they rerun that one on Buzzer, Dan. They do the classic Peter Tamarkin. Press your luck. Yeah, that's a great one. Press your luck's a great one. That's classic. That, you know whose favorite show that was? Hey, listen. Joe loved Press Your Luck. And of course there is that fascinating story of the guy who figured out the pattern. I mean, that guy's story is really amazing. I mean, it's sad too, like what happened after he won all that money. And he didn't cheat, man. The guy did not cheat. He found a flaw. He memorized the pattern, and he won. And then, it's really funny to watch that because those episodes have been shown because he was the only contestant ever to be held over onto another day. He was the only two-day contestant on, or at least, you know, the amount of money that he had. They had to continue the game. So he... you know, as you watch it, Peter Tamarkin, at some point, during the Seppin episode, Peter Tamarkin's like, Oh, for God's sake. Because he keeps hitting on, you know, big money, extra spin, big bucks, extra spin. And at some point, like, Tamarkin's like, I'm leaving. Isn't it? So, but it's a fascinating story. And I wish Bill Murray had made the movie because he owns the rights. He owns the rights to the story of the guy who
really?
Oh, yeah, he owns the rights. But Bill Murray's getting too old to play the part. So, but it's a fascinating story. And they did a great documentary on the Game Show Network. I don't know if it's out there, but they did a great documentary. I can't remember the guy's name. It's a very like common name, Richard something, but he memorized the pattern on Pressure Luck, and he fixed it. He won, and he got a couple of whammies really quick out of the gate to make it look like it was legit.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, he just steamrolled.
Michael Larson,
that was the guy. He was an ice cream truck vendor. He was an ice cream truck dude. He was divorced. And then when he won the money, no, he was married. When he won the money, he ended up getting divorced. He blew all the money, he lost all the money, and he died.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But it's fascinating. It's a fascinating story in a documentary. So that's Pressure Luck. That's the most memorable thing about Pressure Luck, actually, although it's a fun show. All right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we'll get back to more game shows. 312-981-7200. Topol Twofer.
If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have...
Doug in Kansas City, if I were a rich man, from Fiddler on the Roof, to complete our Topol Twofer. Two for Tuesday, man, here. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Talking about game shows. I have a list here of the 25 greatest game shows of all time, and I would love to hear from you guys. What were your favorite game shows? Which ones do you love to watch? And who's your favorite host? Now, 25 on this list is Love Connection with good old Chuck Woolery. 2 and 2. We'll be back in 2 and 2. That's on now with the dude who runs Bravo. The dude who programs all the crap on Bravo. Cohen. Andy Cohen.
Cohen.
Yeah. He's a host now on that. They revived that. They brought it back. Because that's the thing to do now. Because, you know, Match Game is on now. Pyramid is on. I like the new Pyramid. And I think Michael Strahan is really great on it. I think he's really good. And also, I think Pyramid's one of the best game shows of all time. Just in the concept of it, the way it's executed, just the game itself. I think it's one of the greatest game shows of all time. But I always thought Dick Clark was a jerk on that show, because Dick Clark would be like, come on up, let's sit down in the circle, and now you're gonna go to the big pyramid. And give the clues and blah, blah, blah. And whenever they miss one, Dick walks in from off the thing and goes, what if I said blackboard? And then they get the person finally gets it right. And he goes, yeah. Well, it's easy for you to say, Dick. You're standing off in the corner. And then you just come out. No clock ticking, nothing. You just start throwing, suggestions at them. Like, you should have said this clue. I'm Dick Clark. I always thought he was a jerk. Remember when Donny Osmond hosted it, Dan? You remember when Donny Osmond hosted the Pyramid?
I remember it. I didn't think I saw any of it.
I did. Any iteration of the Pyramid, whenever they make the Pyramid, I'll watch. Who else was the host? There were other hosts on it, because it's Michael Strahan now. Well, it's got to be on this list, right?
It is, yes.
Bill Cullen was the host for a little. No, John Davidson was the host for a while. That's another guy who would come in late. Like, he hosted Hollywood Squares after Peter Marshall. And then John Bergeron hosted Hollywood Squares when Whoopi was the middle, was the center square. That was a good show, though. Hollywood Squares was good. Name That Tune, also here. That's a classic.
I liked the original one. I forgot what year that it first started.
Well, it first started in 1953. That was the first year that...
I'm talking, I think, maybe in the 70s.
In the 70s?
60s or 70s, I started watching it.
In the 70s, you had Dennis James hosted it for a while, I believe, and
yes.
Tom Kennedy. Tom Kennedy hosted it for a while, but Dennis and Jim Lang, those were the guys who, in the heyday of the 70s into the 80s, that's when those guys hosted.
And I'll tell you why, and I know it's on now, or it has been on recently in the last few years, but I knew those songs. Now I don't know the songs.
Well, there's this show on Fox that Jamie Foxx hosts called Beat Shazam. And you know this? Have you seen this game, Dan?
I've seen commercials for it. I've never seen the game itself.
I watched it. I can't stand him, but I think the game is kind of fun. But they try to cover all. The idea is that you have to buzz in as quickly. You get a multiple choice. They'll play a song, and you have to buzz in as quickly as possible. And I'm talking a second, 2 seconds at the most. You have to buzz in with what you think the name of the song, the full correct name of the song, because you have to beat Shazam. You know, the app Shazam. If you hear a song on TV or on the radio or whatever, and you don't know what the name of the song is, you hit the Shazam app, press the button, and it'll name the song in about a second. It will tell you what the name of the song is and who it is and whether it's available on iTunes and all that stuff. So that's what the Shazam app is.
You're playing against the computer then in this game?
Well, you're playing against other... what you are is you're playing against other people who have to be faster than you.
Okay.
So there are teams. The teams are in pairs.
Oh.
So it's two people. There are three teams of two pairs. Of each, you know, there's a pair of each in two teams.
Right. Okay.
All right. So they have to. You're given a genre, whether it be like hip hop or 60s or one hit wonders or whatever it is. They try to have as many varied genres as possible. And they say, go ahead and play it. They play the song, and you have to buzz in quicker than your opponents. And then at the end, that's when you play against Shazam.
Oh, whoever, whichever pair wins, then
right.
You play against the
And
computer.
Then one of those
okay.
people, they choose one of the two, goes up against Shazam, and you've got to beat Shazam. And you go up this ladder of how much money everything is worth, and you could win up to $1 million.
Oof.
So, and it's not a bad game. It's just that Jamie Foxx makes me nuts. So, let's see. Here's Ross on WGN. Hey, Ross.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good.
My all-time favorite game show is Cash Cab.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, awesome show. We used to DVR it and then watch marathons of it.
I love it. I love it. And Ben Bailey, fantastic.
Oh, it was an awesome show.
You know what I used to love about Cash Cab was that once the show was on for a little while, you know,
yeah.
Ben Bailey, when people would get into the cab, he'd go, hey, how you doing? And he would do, like, different voices. And he would, like, kind of hunch his shoulders so nobody saw him.
Right.
But I always loved it. I always loved it when people realized that they were in the cash cab before he hit the ceiling lights.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That always made me laugh.
Hey, you're Ben Bailey.
Wait a minute, we're in the cash cab! And it's before he hits the lights. And it's a great show because it's simple and it's just trivia and you can play along at home. I love Cash Cab. I really do.
Yeah, you can still catch it. I don't remember what channel it's on, but you can still catch it on some channel.
It's on the Game Show Network. They show reruns of it on the Game Show Network. I was just watching it over the weekend, actually. So.
That's a great show.
Yeah, it is.
Great show.
All right, Ross, thank you, buddy.
You bet.
All right, here is Craig on WGN. Hi, Craig.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yeah.
You were talking about Dick Clark. And, you know, and I love that guy from, like, the Countdown. But when he was on that show, he was so smug.
I agree.
The other one that used to aggravate the fire out of me was Alex Trebek on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
He would look at you and go, the answer is. And he was just so cold and smug.
Every time you got something wrong, he'd go, ooh, sorry. Because he's Canadian. He would go, ooh, sorry. Yeah.
But he acted as though it was, you know, they were winning his personal money.
Well, the thing is, I think he's trying to come off as really, really smart because the show is hard. I think
he's not.
No, I know that. I realize that. But I think he's playing that. He's trying to play it like, I'm super intelligent because I host the hardest game show on TV.
I mean, he's no Ben Stein. Okay?
No, you're right. Win Ben Stein's money. That was a great show, too.
Yeah, but that guy was a legitimate genius.
Oh, no question about it. No question about
you
it.
Know.
Yeah. All right, Craig. Thanks, man.
All right. Have a good morning,
guys. Ben Stein's money. Win Ben Stein's money. That was a fun show. That was a fun show. 301 area code says Nickelodeon just brought back Double Dare with the old host. That's right. He's back. Mark Summers is back on Double Dare. I haven't watched the new Double Dare, but I used to watch it all the time. 815 area code says, what about You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx? Fantastic show. Fantastic show. So, not so much a legitimate game show as just a show that exists in order for Groucho to be funny. Like, to interact with, because the funny stuff on the game show itself wasn't all that great. But all the stuff, you know, the interviews and him and Groucho talking and interacting with the contestants, that was what was genius about that show. So, okay, we got a break. We got the news coming up right here. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18th floor here at 303 Wacker. And we're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell coming up at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Roger Badish requested Blood, Sweat, and Tears. At least to listen to me.
Love them.
So they have many hits. So we'll definitely have another song from Blood, Sweat, and Tears coming up before we get out of here. We're talking about game shows, and if you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200. 765 area code says, win, lose, or draw with Burt Convy and Burt Reynolds. That was a Burt and Burt production. I remember the logo. Win, lose, or draw. Let's see. 301 area code said, Hollywood Squares briefly had a Saturday morning version called Storybook Squares where the celebs dressed up as fairy tale characters. What? What? Now, I don't know. I don't remember that at all, Dan. Do you remember that at all, Storybook
Squares? I don't, but it sounds awesome.
It does sound fantastic. I just have never seen it. 63 area code says, Buzzer TV also airs the black and white game shows Like to Tell the Truth from 1 to 3 p.m., and they are not the same episodes that they are from 7 to 9 a.m. See, 7 to 9, I'm awake. 1 to 3, I'm asleep. So every once in a while, I'll get to watch some of the black and white stuff if there's not like stuff on my DVR that I'm usually watching during that time period. And as you know, Dan, my cue to go to bed is usually is Price is Right.
Speaking of game shows.
And I usually go to bed before the I usually go to bed before the second time they spin the wheel. Because, you know, the Showcase Showdown, I don't really care that much about. So I usually, for me, it hit the hay. It's like the second time they spin the wheel. I'm like, okay. And I'll go to bed very disappointed if the yodeling guy doesn't fall off the mountain. I will be very disappointed. Now, I like a ton of the, I think The Price is Right is a great game show. Always has been. I think Drew Carey does a fantastic job on it. It's very entertaining and it's fun to watch. And all of the games that they bring out there are a lot of fun. But I love the yodeling guy falling off the mountain. That's my favorite. I know they don't play it every day. It's usually maybe once a week, maybe. And they don't do Plinko as much as they should. Well, everybody loves Plinko. I think Plinko is everybody's favorite. So, Dan, were you able to find any theme songs?
I got a couple we can throw at you.
All right, let's see. See if I can guess. You know, I might need a clue after maybe after I hear it.
It sounds good.
So these are game show themes.
We've got three here.
Okay.
All right. First one.
It's great. It's a great. It's great. I love it. All right. Can we give me a like a era? It sounds 80s.
You are correct. Initially 80 to 82.
Okay.
Was brought back in 85. And that is when this theme song was produced.
So that was produced in 85. That's the theme song from 85. Was it a network show? Does it say?
The first iteration, both iterations ran on NBC.
So it was an NBC game show, 80s.
Correct.
Wow. I'm going to need more. Who's the host?
It was 87, 85. I apologize. Bill Rafferty. It was the 87 host.
Bill Rafferty.
Bill Cullen was the original host.
Okay. Well, those guys both hosted tons of game shows. I don't know. Let's say Supermarket Village.
Close. Blockbusters.
Oh. Well, see, now that theme that you played is not from the original Blockbusters. The Bill Cullen theme is a completely different one. I know the Bill Cullen. Let me see if I can think of the Bill Cullen theme for Blockbusters is completely different than the than I guess I didn't watch it when Bill Rafferty was the host. That's it right there. Yeah. That's Blockbusters. All right. Well, you're getting me all the time, man. I'm never good at this. All right, what's next?
I think this one you'll be fine with.
All right. Card Sharks.
That is correct.
Yeah. This is a jam. We should have had a twofer of game show themes.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a little, there you go, everybody, for Triple Play Thursday.
Well, we did have the Jim Post.
Yeah, we did.
Last week.
Mike Post.
Mike Post, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's Card Sharks.
Who wrote all these? Wasn't it the same two dudes?
Well, it was. They were under the name. Most of that you hear is called Score Productions. They went under the name under the umbrella of Score Productions. So when you watch these game shows, a lot of the game shows from the 70s and the 80s, it'll say music by Score Productions. I know that there were specifically two guys who wrote all of them. Not all of them, but like most of them of the Goodson Todman ones, the Goodson Todman productions, which are, you know, like 85% of the game shows were Goodson Todman productions. Score Productions were the guys who made the music. They did the match game, classic. All right, you said you got one more?
Yeah, in this batch here.
All right. Jeez. Sounds very dramatic. I know this. See, now that sounds late 70s.
83 to 84.
Oh, boy, really? 83 to 84. So it only ran one season?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it does ring a bell. Who was the host?
Kevin O'Connell.
That doesn't help me at all.
He was a Los Angeles and Buffalo meteorologist. It did air on a major network, though. It aired on NBC.
Okay. All right. Just 83 to 84. So one season, a weatherman hosted it. I'm going to say, guess the weather.
That would be a great game, but it is not correct.
What is it?
Go.
Does it say what the object was?
Two teams, each consisting of one celebrity captain and four contestants, competed. The team that played first in any round selected a packet of words or phrases with a choice of two. Four of the team's members gave clues as to the chosen words, while the fifth player attempted to offer correct answers in response, serving in this role for the entire game. The four clue givers sat in a line, so as a form of three clue-giving pairs. Each pair received a word to describe and constructed a clue question by building it alternately one word at a time.
Shocked it lasted one season. Sounds incredibly compelling. You know which show had a fantastic theme?
What's that?
Now You See It. That was from the early 80s. Jack Carnes was the host. And you know what they did? You know, Dan, when you... No, this is it. Yeah, that's it. Dinna. See, this is just the intro when you get to the main theme. Here it comes.
Wow.
Wait, it's got it. Wait. Here it is.
Which game show is this again?
Now You See It.
It sounds so familiar, but I.
Now, the object of this game was you guys know the you know the word search?
Sure.
Yeah.
Where you got the it's not a crossword puzzle. It's much easier than a crossword puzzle. All you got to do is find the words and you circle it. That was essentially what it was. You would have to find the words that are hidden amongst a bunch of letters. But the most ridiculous part was they would play in teams. So they'd have teams and they would have people. So you'd have the board in front of you and you would have to pick the line that the board was on. Or you'd pick the line that the word was. He'd give you a clue. He would say like, he had a round table and his knights. So you would find Arthur, okay? And so it would be hidden somewhere on this board with a whole bunch of letters, and you would have to pick what line it was on and then what position it was in. So if it's on line three, you say line three, and then you have to find position six because position six is where the A starts in Arthur. But the ridiculous part was that there would be two people playing, and one person would be hitting. They're on chairs that can revolve, kind of like the chair I'm on right now, Dan, that you can spin around in.
Oh,
and
sure.
So, like, one person would be facing the board, and the other person would have his back to the board. And so, the host would go, okay, he had a round table of knights, and then the guy buzzes in and goes, it's line four. And then, okay, now his partner's got to spin around. and look at the board and go, position six. He's got to find it on the board. And they and so each person has to, then they have to spin back around. The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But it's a fun game if you like the you know, the word find. It's a fun game. But at that, and nobody ever won the bonus round. Nobody ever, ever won the bonus round on Now You See Me. I think Jack Carnes, I believe, was the host. Jack Nard. Wait, Nars? Nars, I think. Jack Nars?
Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Jack Nars or Jack Nard. I don't know.
Is it Jack? I don't want to Google it.
No, yeah. But that's what his name is, Jack Nard.
Jack Nars, N-A-R-Z.
He was also an announcer. He was an announcer on a lot of game shows, an executive producer on a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But yeah, Now You See It. So there you go. Ridiculous. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. That's Blood, Sweat, and Tears with Lucretia McEvil. Roger recommended that one, requested. That's the end of our Two for Tuesday for this week. We'll do it again next week. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about game shows. Dan, did you ever get on board with Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
You know, I don't think I did. It was just one of those times where, I mean, obviously you know the phenomenon, but I didn't actually watch it at any point for more than a few minutes.
It made me feel just so stupid, which was the whole point. The whole point of watching
exactly.
That show was that you just like, well, I'm going to watch this so that I can feel like a complete idiot. How about Remote Control with Ken Ober on MTV? Did you watch that one, Dan?
Oh, that was a great show.
That was a phenomenal show. That's where all everybody came from.
That's right.
Sandler, Dennis Leary, Colin Quinn. Colin Quinn was like the co-host, announcer.
Right.
Kari Wuhr. Oh, Kari Wuhr. What was the because Kari Wuhr was the second girl. Marisol was the first. Marisol was the first like spokesmodel on Remote Control. Yeah, other people came out of there too. Did Rob Schneider come out of there too? Because I remember, I know Sandler did. I know Dennis Leary did. Colin Quinn, other guys too. That started out there. They were guys who would come out and you know and give clues and questions and stuff. And they were all like New York stand-up guys. Because Ober was a stand-up, Ken Ober, who was the host, was a stand-up comedian, and they all kind of worked the circuit between improv and Catch a Rising Star, and so they all ended up on that show. I think Marisol was the first girl, and then Kari Wuhr was the one that everybody remembered. But that was a terrific show. Leo says, "I loved Concentration since I was a little boy in the '60s. I thought it was neat having." A quote using cryptic clues underneath. Here's another one. 312 says, you remember Classic Concentration? All I remember from that show was the top prize at the end of the game was always a Chrysler LeBaron. uh, 319 area code says, I still love Hollywood Squares with Paul Lynde. Those are classic. And the original Gong Show. The original Gong Show is great. The new one is unwatchable. With Mike Myers doing that stupid British character. That's it's terrible, and it's terrible not because it's the same show. It's essentially, you know, it's essentially a bunch of acts that range from being embarrassingly awful to somewhat good, and to celebrities, you know, judging them. So it's the same. It's just that Mike Myers, every time he comes out onto the stage, I just want to punch my TV. Whatever character he's doing, I can't remember the name of the character that he does on the show, but. Who thought it was a good idea? And I remember the first season, because this is its second season now. In the first season, they tried to keep that a secret. He never took credit. He was billed as whatever that character's name is. And
Tommy Maitland.
Tommy Maitland, right. He was billed as Tommy Maitland. There was no mention of Mike Myers, but then now, you know, he's on talk shows plugging it. Saying, you know, like, now that it's been on for a year, now I can, you know, I'm still playing Tommy Maitland, but letting everybody know that it's me. Steve says, how about my parents loved Dialing for Dollars? 312 area code says, Sale of the Century with Jim Perry and Summer Bartholomew. And Summer Bartholomew, she was the best. 815 area code, I've Got a Secret with Gary Moore. That's another one, Dan, that they show in the morning on Buzzer. It's one of those classic black and white panel shows where you'd have the the panels, and they were all in their suits, and the women are all in gowns and stuff. And so Gary Moore was the host of the Gary Moore Show, which oddly he would be the host of.
Wow, get out of town!
But he was. I've Got a Secret as well. Constantly smoking. Constantly. If you go back and watch, Gary Moore is smoking all the time on that show. Constantly. And that was back when they were given, like, at, you know, what the prizes were. You get 3 cartons of Chesterfields. You know, that was back when those were the prizes that they would give away. You get 3 cartons of Chesterfields and stuff. The 219 area code says, do you remember when Wheel of Fortune contestants would shop for their prizes with their winnings? Of course, yeah. They would always get, like, porcelain monkeys and stuff, because I'll take the porcelain monkey for $450. That took up half the game, though. You know what I mean? Like, half of the running time of the old Wheel of Fortune was watching people shop and look at really terrible items that were overpriced.
Was there, like, one item that was never picked that was, like a jaguar statue?
There were terrible. I mean, in every, because they had different settings. Like, here's a living room setting, and here's a, you know, there, here's this, and here's that. And there was always at least 2 things in there. It's like, who the hell is going to buy that? But the thing is, you had to spend, you never, you know, that was a game where you never had cash. They never gave away, like, now Wheel of Fortune is one of the shows that gives away the most cash. Like, you walk out of there with $30,000 in a, you know, and a couple of trips, but you still walk out of there with money. Back then, when you had to shop, here's the thing, Dan. Back in the old days, when you had to shop, you had to spend all your money on the crap that they offered you. So they'd offer you these terrible furniture, this awful artwork, and you would have to spend it all. And then whatever was left over, you'd have a little bit of money left over. They would go, we'll put that on a gift certificate for you. So there was no, there was no cash prizes. It was either a very lame gift certificate or awful prizes that you paid way too much money for. Terrible. Peter Indicator was Queen for a Day, a game show. Yeah, pretty depressing game show, too. Like, women would come on and tell their really, really pathetic stories, and whoever had the saddest story would be queen for a day. They would get a crown, and they would get money. But they had to come out and embarrass themselves. So, then, of course, we have Family Feud, which is one of the legendary classics. You know, nobody will be better than Dawson. But they had Dawson, they had Ray Combs, Louis Anderson, Richard Karn, John O'Hurley, and then now Steve Harvey. And Steve Harvey is considered to be the best since Dawson. And I agree with that, actually. I think Steve Harvey's terrific on that show. And then, of course, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Legendary. And Jeopardy, probably everybody's favorite. And, yeah. Deal or No Deal, I would have been terrible on that show.
Because you don't like costumes?
Deal or No Deal? You don't wear that's Let's Make a Deal.
Oh, that's Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah, which now is on at 9 o'clock before Price is Right. Wayne Brady is your host. No. Deal or No Deal was when you had to pick the briefcase.
That's right, with Howie Mandel.
Yeah, Howie Mandel. And then, like, for me, though, I'd be terrible on that show because the banker would go, all right, I've got the banker on the line. He's offering $15,000. Like, I'll take that deal. I would take the first deal.
What is this? The Price is Right? Yeah. See ya, suckers.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got a break. The news is coming up in 15 seconds.